On today's episode of 23's The Mic, we recap a crazy weekend in sports. I watched around like 10 hours of NFL football yesterday. A lot to get into with the NBA Finals and the MLB Playoffs Divisional Series starting up. So without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome, everybody, to 23's The Mic. It is Monday, October 5th, 2020. As always, you can catch us at 23's The Mic on Instagram and Twitter. You can find me at NadeemN22 on Instagram and at TheDreamN22 on Twitter. Catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play for all of your podcasting needs. What a weekend we just witnessed. The craziest games in the 12 o'clock window of the NFL. And then yesterday, Jimmy Butler has a 40-point triple-double. We have so much going on in the English Premier League to get to. So real quick, before we start off, there's breaking news into the show. The Texans have fired their head coach, their GM, and their offensive coordinator, and that sounds like a lot. It's one guy, Bill O'Brien, who has been running the show, giving the keys to the kingdom in Houston, and completely just derailed the system there, kind of stunted Deshaun Watson's progression this year, traded away DeAndre Hopkins, as we remember, in the offseason for nothing, for David Johnson and scraps on the yard, and draft picks. Got rid of all their draft picks. So the Texans are now sitting at 0-4. They have their first and second round picks are owned by Miami in the next upcoming drafts, and it's not looking good for them. But, you know, with change, you need to kind of wait for the adjustment period and be patient. The Texans fans finally get what they want. Shout out Ziad, finally getting what he has been advocating and campaigning for since the season started, since last season even, which is firing Bill O'Brien. Hashtag fire B.O.B. finally came through to fruition. So let's jump into the weekend recap. The best thing I saw this weekend, last night, the Miami Heat in Game 3 of the NBA Finals against the Los Angeles Lakers, without Goran Dragic, without Bam Adebayo, somehow, someway, Jimmy Buckets coming through, a 40-point triple-double. Miami led every quarter, and it did not look like they were letting up in this game. This was the game, the heart game that we were looking to see, that, you know, teams usually when they're down in a series, they usually bounce back and have a game or two like this. Doesn't necessarily mean the series is completely changing in terms of direction, in terms of the Lakers winning, but it'll be interesting to see if the Heat can take this momentum and carry it over maybe to game four, bounce back in this series. If we have a good series here, I would be absolutely shocked, especially how the first two games went. So that'll be interesting to see. Jimmy Butler had 40 points. He had 13 rebounds and 11, or he had 11 rebounds and 13 assists. Just getting it done on both sides of the floor. The defense was amazing by Jimmy Butler yesterday. And he literally carried the load because the next highest scorer was Kelly Olynyk and Tyler Herro, who each had 17 apiece. Over across the pond in England, there were several key matchups this weekend, including Tottenham versus Man U, Leicester versus West Ham, Liverpool, and Aston Villa, and Manchester City and Leeds United. Now, Manchester City had a great golden opportunity, especially with the way that the weekend progressed. They did not capitalize. They ended up drawing. And out of the four top teams that I just mentioned, Manchester City were the only teams to actually garner a point after this weekend. Manchester City tied with Leeds United, but this morning, a bright spot is Sergio Aguero is back in the training grounds for the first time since his knee injury. It's really, really nice to see him get back there because they are missing a finisher. That false nine with Raheem Sterling is not working. They are missing their main striker, Sergio Aguero. Even Gabby Jesus is on the shelf, so it would be great to have them back and mix in with De Bruyne and Bernardo. Ferran Torres is a good young prospect. I mean, we'll wait to see what he does. But the main news coming from the Man United game and the Liverpool game, Man United gets thrashed by Tottenham 6-1. Tottenham blazing speed across the pitch, but an early red card to Anthony Martial really derailed United's chances in that game, and they ended up losing 6-1. Liverpool against Aston Villa, that is a gimme game, easy win you'd expect, and got completely destroyed. I've never seen so much pace in so much space in Liverpool defense before, especially this team. The reigning champions lost 7-2 against Aston Villa. And there were three goals that were just absolutely, I mean, it's just like head scratchers, because one, there was a couple goals that Aston Villa had that just bounced off Liverpool defense, and just the most lucky, or unlucky if you're a Liverpool fan, unlucky plays you'll ever see. Three of them in the same game. But even without those, I mean, you're just looking at four goals that just through the space, through the creases. Former Chelsea player Ross Barkley had a good game. Jack Grealish had a great game. And Watkins, who is this new striker for the Aston Villa, had a hat trick. I mean, it was just an all-around terrible, a shameful day, the English say. A shameful day at the yard for Jurgen Klopp's team. The defense just unraveled. Trent Alexander-Arnold, Virgil van Dijk just outplayed. Mohamed Salah had two goals, so he's still on his, you know, regular run. But this year is so interesting because the EPL looks to be wide open. Leicester lost to West Ham in more of a competitive game than the previous two I mentioned. But this year is awesome because it is so wide open. Anybody can win. Man City isn't at the top of their game. Liverpool clearly is having a championship hangover. Man U is in all sorts of shambles. Who knows? But word just came in. We have breaking news on the show that Man U just signed Edinson Cavani from PSG. The Uruguayan striker, who is one of the best strikers in the world, I mean, over the past 10 years, for sure. He will definitely provide some sort of a oomph to Manchester United's attacking prowess. And the other thing that I wanted to get to, it was a bad weekend for me. It was a bad last few days for me in sports. You had the Cubs, the White Sox, not as much, but the Cubs losing two of the playoff games that they were in, getting outed in the playoffs. Then you have the Bears, who lost on Sunday, but Saturday, Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler and the Oklahoma Sooners were looking to bounce back after a upset at the hands of Kansas State last week. They were looking to go into Ames, Iowa, and prove that they were, that was just a fluke game, or maybe they were off. Spencer maybe shaking off some of the rust of no preseason, no OTAs, you know how it is. And they get thrashed by Iowa State. It was a competitive game throughout, 30-37, Iowa State wins, but man, Spencer Rattler with a walk-off game-ending interception at the end of the game. Really brutal to see how that game went, especially due to the fact that Spencer came out firing. He was really good all game, but this defense, man, Alex Grinch, I don't know if you need to fire him because he's kind of establishing this new speed D concept and it's kind of working. But man, do we need help? We need better recruits. Our corners were, I think, averaged around 5'10", and the the Iowa State receivers were about 6'4", so there was mismatches all over the place that they were exploiting, and it was really just terrible. I mean, you don't have your Kennedy Brooks, who's our starting running back. You don't have Jaden Hazelwood. Theo Howard dropped a wide-open touchdown, and Trayvon Bridges is nowhere to be seen. So, I mean, we're missing key guys for sure, and it looks like for the first time since 1999, the Sooners have lost back-to-back games. That is insane. And I think we're a little spoiled because we're coming from Baker Mayfield to Kyler Murray to Jalen Hurts. Three straight college football playoff appearances, five straight Big 12 championships. And for the first time since I can remember, maybe 2013, I think with Trevor Knight, the Sooners are not in the AP Top 25. But we have the Bears, right? So we thought. The 3-0 Bears went into Soldier Field yesterday to take on the Indianapolis Colts, and wow, does nothing change. I mean, the offense was so out of sorts. The offensive line got bullied by the Indianapolis Colts. Nick Foles goes 249 yards, has a touchdown and a pick. Phillip Rivers, not much different, to be honest, but the Indianapolis Colts did have 103 rushing yards compared to the Bears. 28 rushing yards. 28. When would 28 rushing yards ever get the job done in an NFL game? Never. Not once. 28 rushing yards David Montgomery, who, if you remember last week on the Go Home episode on Thursday or Friday, I had mentioned that David Montgomery was going to be the key player in this game. Would the offensive line give him the protection he needed to run through and get a good chunk of yardage here and there? Maybe I was hoping for like 100, 115 yards, especially with no Tariq Cohen. He was the primary back and 28 rushing yards total for this Bears offense. Absolutely atrocious. The offensive line could not withstand the pass rush or the rush defense from the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts end up winning 19-11. There are so many, many points in this game that the Indianapolis Colts just had it laying out there for us to take advantage of. They never once put the Bears away. And the Bears always had opportunities to get their defense off the field and get the offense back out there. But here's the thing. There was no offensive game plan. Nothing was working. And Nick Foles looked terrible in the first three quarters. Terrible. I don't know what happened in that half from last week against the Falcons. I mean, I was so confused as to what we were watching. He was missing throws. He was inaccurate. It was like, maybe we should bring in Mitch Trubisky. Maybe he'll come as another 16-point deficit, which is the third time this year that that's happened. And it was just the offense was so terrible. And I think that it was huge, huge for the Bears to come out strong in this game and carry that momentum into Thursday night, because a short week against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are coming off a comeback win against the Los Angeles Chargers. Tom Brady throws for 5 touchdowns to 5 different receivers. They look good. They look very good, especially with Tom Brady at the helm. And not only that, their defense is not to be reckoned with. I think this game was so big for the Bears to win and bounce and carry that momentum. 4-0 going into the Bucs game would be so nice. But now 3-1, and look at it. Like, the Bears have to be one of the weaker 3-1 teams in the league, and it's only looking like a downward spiral right now because they have the Bucs this week, and who knows how big of an impact Tom Brady and the Bucs offense is going to torch the Bears, and also what is the Bucs defense going to do against the Bears offense, which is pretty lethargic right now. Let's be honest, 28 rushing yards, 250 passing yards, like that's not a lot at all. That's less than 300 yards of total offense against an Indianapolis Colts defense that is good. We have to give credit to where credit is due. And the Bears rush defense did pretty well. They held Jonathan Taylor in check for the most part and didn't allow any big plays on offense. Mo Alie Cox is just a mismatch wherever you put him. I mean, he's like a 6'4", 6'6". Former VCU college basketball player, and he came in and just bullied the Bears. Phillip Rivers, I think one of the funniest moments in this game was when Jonathan Taylor did an outside run and just ran around the Bears defense for, I think it was like a 20-yard gain, maybe 15-yard gain. And then after that, Phillip Rivers was trash-talking Roquan Smith and saying, he ran around you. He was like, yeah, he just like got around you, and he was just trash-talking him. And Phillip Rivers is one of the funniest trash-talkers because he uses no profanity, and it's all in the mic'd up tapes. So if you get a listen, if you get a chance, go on YouTube, search up NFL mic'd up, and then see if you can find some Phillip Rivers content because it's really funny. Well, we'll see what's going on with the Bears later this week in their matchup against the Bucks, and later episode this week we'll talk about how that goes. Now it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. This week was so insane to me because I think every game in the 12 o'clock window, every team had over 17 points. And the first game that I was watching was the Cowboys and the Browns game, and we'll get into that a little later. But the good for this week is Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. And actually, it's not even Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow gets his first win of his NFL career, but the main man to highlight is Joe Mixon, who had 25 carries for 151 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground, then 6 catches for 30 yards and a touchdown. Joe Mixon, probably going to be the player of the week, had a great game, and this was the breakout game that everyone that drafted him in fantasy was waiting for. He looked great. He was shifty. He has all this energy and momentum that he's carrying with him. He had so many touches leading in. I think he was top 5 in the league in touches coming into this week and just hadn't produced. This was a big breakout week for Joe Mixon. Shout out our man from Oklahoma, Joe Mixon. Our bad for this week is the Arizona Cardinals. Do you believe that the Arizona Cardinals started the season 2-0 and they faced the San Francisco 49ers and the Washington Redskins, and they looked pretty good? And then you flip the script to the Lions and the Panthers, who, coming into this game, the Panthers were looked at as one of those measly teams that were at the bottom of the rankings, and they did pretty well. Credit to where credit is due. Teddy Bridgewater had 276 passing yards for 2 touchdowns. Mike Davis, in his interim for Christian McCaffrey, had 84 yards on the ground with a touchdown. They're doing well, but the Arizona running game is just non-existent. They had 51 yards between Kenyon Drake and Chase Edmonds. Kenyon Drake is probably the biggest fantasy bust in the first couple rounds of this year. I mean, he's getting the work. He's just not being able to do anything with it. The Cardinals offensive line, we are starting to learn more about them. And here's the thing. With all these teams that we think we know so much about, we see these rankings for team rankings come out every single week on ESPN, and we kind of see where the teams are. And I mean, at the end of the day, any game, any team, any week isn't ever a given. Every team can go out and beat another team, regardless of what their schedule says, regardless of what their record says. Any professional football team can do this, and this is what the Carolina Panthers are proving the past couple weeks. They took out Kyler Murray, who, I mean, 2 weeks ago we were talking about an MVP candidate. Kyler Murray only had 133 yards passing. He did have 3 touchdowns, and then he had 78 yards on the ground as well. I mean, that's what Kyler Murray's going to do, but if you can keep him in check to less than 150 yards in the air, I mean, no one's winning a game with less than 150 yards in the air. The big thing, though, is the Arizona defense that is being exploited by these teams, especially on the ground. And, I mean, in this game, the Panthers knew that the one thing that they had to do was chew the clock. And they beat the Arizona Cardinals in time of possession, 34 minutes versus 22 minutes. That is a 15-minute discrepancy. That is insane. To have the ball for that long compared to the other team, definitely just winning the game of possession. And that's what the Carolina Panthers did to win this game. And listen, next week, the Arizona Cardinals will travel to New York and take on the Jets, but a red-hot Sam Darnold right now. And, you know, that could be another exploitation of the Arizona defense if they can't get that ship turned around. But I expect Kyler Murray to bounce back and have a great game against the Jets next week. The ugly for this week is the Dallas Cowboys. My goodness. 49-38, a loss to the Cleveland Browns, who, let's talk about this. We have to talk about this. The Cleveland Browns look good, man. They are 3-1 for the first time since 2001. They have won, they are 2 games over 500 for the first time since 2014. They had 307 rushing yards. I mean, the Bears had 28. The Browns had 307 with Nick Chubb getting hurt in the second quarter. It was all Dearness Johnson, who used to be, before he was with the AAF, if you remember. I think that was 2019. I'm pretty sure that was 2019 when the AAF was around, and it was like one of those like tier two football leagues. But he was shifty. He looked like a young Le'Veon Bell. And he had 95 yards on the ground. He was great. Baker Mayfield had 165 yards, 2 touchdowns. Very efficient game from him. But Odell Beckham with a game. 80 yards through the air. He also caught a 37-yard touchdown pass from Jarvis Landry, which was awesome to see, like a little gadget play. And then when it looked like the Cowboys were coming back, they were down 41-14, and they brought it back to 48. They had answered the Browns, bringing the scoreline back to 41-38. And it was kind of reminiscent of the Falcons game from a couple weeks back. And even the announcers were getting into it. The fans were getting into it. And Kevin Stefanski, who's done a great job this year, by the way, calls a reverse run. And OBJ takes it and is probably, I think, 15 yards in the backfield. Runs around a tackle and just goes 50 yards to the house, silencing any doubt that the Browns were going to win this one. Dak Prescott had 500 yards through the air. He had 4 touchdowns. Great fantasy. Great fantasy day. But the Cleveland Browns rush defense is a force. They held Ezekiel Elliott to 54 rushing yards. Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb both got theirs. Amari Cooper had 134 yards and a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb had 78 yards and 2 touchdowns for his first career touchdown and his second career touchdown. CeeDee Lamb, my rookie of the year so far, coming a long way, becoming Dak Prescott's favorite target. My guy's killing it. And he was really the only bright spot for the Cowboys yesterday. I feel like all these air yards that Dak Prescott's accumulating over the time, he's on pace right now for 6,700 passing yards in the season. But it's empty if you're not getting wins at the end of the day. Like, these are all garbage time numbers. He had 250 passing yards in the fourth quarter. And while it was impressive to see how many touchdowns and how many points they scored in the fourth quarter, they were down 41-14 after three. The Browns are playing soft. They're, kind of like in their minds, took that dub, and it wasn't really letting up. And then let's go back to Tom Brady. Tom Brady had 5 touchdown passes and a comeback win against the Chargers. He has the Bears this week. It's going to be interesting to see, but I don't see the Bears coming out on top in this game. If we don't get to a preview later this week, my prediction for this game is going to be 28-14 in favor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm telling you, this was a huge game for the Bears against the Colts, and them losing it and just looking so out of sorts on offense. Like, it's maybe an advantage that they look so out of sorts on offense due to the fact that watching the game film, if you're on the Bucs side, you don't really know what you're going to see or what you're going to expect. All you're going to know is to beat this team, just bully their offensive line because it's really not that good. So we'll see how that goes. We have the A's and Astros that are kicking off the divisional series today. We have, I think, the Yankees and Rays also tonight, so that'll be interesting. Go Yankees. I think it's weird because everyone hates the Yankees, but I'm a fan. That's all for today's show. Check us out at 23 is the Mic on Instagram and Twitter. Tomorrow morning, we'll have the Week 4 rankings. So comment on the rankings tomorrow. Let me know what you think. Give us your feedback and all that good stuff. On Thursday's or Friday's show, we'll have the mailbag segment. So please DM, reply to the story, or comment any questions that you have or any topics that you want to go over on the podcast for the next episode. And really exciting, later this week, I'm going to partner with my friend Yusuf Unwer from New York, and we're going to go over our quarter season awards for the NFL. So we're going to go over our MVPs, our best offenses, defenses, rookie of the years. I kind of gave that away earlier in the show, but you know how it goes. So check back here at 23 is the Mic on Instagram and Twitter. Once again, I'm your host, Nadeem, at TheDreamN22 on Twitter, at NadeemN22 on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. Looking forward to the week. Love you guys.